You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Migration is not what it's cracked up to be.
Multiculturalism has become more of a cultural phenomenon. We're the others, you know, we're the ones that dress up in funny costumes, have occasional festivals, but we're not seen as politicized agents in a society.
È il momento di spostare l'attenzione dalle promesse istituzionali all'organizzazione popolare.
Siamo qui a 8:55 a.m. We have a special episode tonight for International Women's Day. I'm here with Renata, Lorella, Margarita, and special mention to Tobia helping us out with sound. Buonasera.
Buonasera.
Come state?
Buonasera.
Buonasera, Hannah.
It's been a pretty big weekend of events for International Women's Day, which was last Sunday, the 8th of March. Yeah, this is a pretty exciting episode, though, to be with everyone and all some of Le Donne del Filef. Thank you guys for being here.
Niente,
Bella.
We were talking before about different events that were on this weekend here in Australia and in Italy and also all around the world. Here, we were mentioning before that here compared to Europe and South America, Latin America, the rallies and the marches aren't as big. So to go off the events that happened, I was at an event on Sunday that was run by 18 different Greek and Cypriot organizations, which was pretty cool. They had some great key speakers who spoke about the silence of women and in our cultures, like Greek, Cypriot, Italian cultures, staying silent is sometimes seen as a strength, and how it's not a strength, it's kind of a survival technique. And so these women got up and talked from personal experience about culture and tradition having a part to play in a lot of what women struggle and suffer as well. And it was really special to see so many different intergenerational women come together for this event. Aside from that, I'm going to pass to Margarita to tell us about some stuff that happened in Italy across the weekend.
Thank you, Hannah. Silence is definitely not a strength. I think, as you were saying, in Italy and across Europe, the demonstrations for International Women's Day are really, really big. This year, women went down in some piazze in over 60 cities in Italy, and there were massive demonstrations across the country. So thousands and thousands have marched. It's something that I used to participate a lot in Italy, especially when I used to live in Rome. And it's something that I really miss here, because as you're saying, there's not really big marches in Australia and in Melbourne where we are. Another important thing, I guess, to mention is that the demonstrations in Italy are transfeminist, una manifestazione transfemminista. So very, very intersectional. And people went down on the streets, women and allies, and everyone who just identifies as a woman, also against all wars, against the patriarchy and capitalism. And I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. And then on Monday the 9th, there always is a very big strike against all productive and also reproductive labor, mm-hmm. because we need to remember the reproductive labor is also labor and un fondamento del capitalismo, anche sì. quello.
È proprio un grande peccato, Margherita, che infatti qui in Australia negli ultimi anni le manifestazioni per le donne sono diventate così piccole. È proprio un grande peccato. Tanti anni fa le manifestazioni qui erano molto più grandi, infatti io ho fatto parte di un comitato che ci riunivamo ogni anno per mesi prima. E abbiamo incominciato, io direi forse anche 15-20 anni fa, e abbiamo incominciato da piccolo e l'abbiamo cresciuta. la manifestazione, diciamo, di 6-7 anni fa era grandissima. E, era anche sectional. Abbiamo sempre invitavamo donne che potevano parlare sull'immigrazione, su essere aborigeni, sui problemi delle donne, della salute, delle scuole, dell'educazione, la pace, il capitalismo, il lavoro. E era molto difficile, però siamo arrivati al punto che era veramente grande. E poi a un certo punto ci siamo sentite abbastanza sicure di darlo al Trades Hall, cioè all'organizzazione dei lavoratori, perché infatti il giorno è International Working Women's Day. Allora volevamo portarlo indietro ai sindacati, però negli ultimi anni sfortunatamente è diventata sempre più piccola. Sì. Forse questo è qualcosa che dobbiamo considerare. We should really consider what we can do about it.
Sì. Mai sono stata un manifestazione qui in Australia, la prima volta era in Madrid, in Spagna, che sembra anche come Italia, era grandissima con tutte le persone, old, young, male, female, queer allies, trans allies, everyone, it was thousands of people in the street, which was really, really beautiful to see, and mai sono stata una manifestazione così qui in Australia. And I'm not sure why, especially when we used to have it.
I think historically it's a really interesting question why, because in the past there have also been tensions within the women's movement here in Australia about women speaking for women in the sense of Indigenous women and migrant women possibly being invited as a speaker, but not being involved from the beginning about, well, what will the day look like? What are the priorities going to be? How will we have this day? All that sort of...
Well, I have to... The committee that put it together was an open committee, and so everyone was invited.
Yeah, everyone's invited.
But no, it wasn't... Sure. I mean, at the time when we were doing it, not Trades Hall, so I can't talk for what Trades Hall did. Sure. But in fact, we wanted people to be there to help plan and to work out, and so we invited people. But you're right, there was certainly a lot of difficulty, and I know in the last few years that I was involved, we had great difficulty with groups so-called TERFs and SWERFs, so trans exclusionary and sex worker exclusionary feminist groups so-called, and they would make it very, very difficult for trans women who came or sex workers who came and identified, to the point that these women felt unsafe, which was appalling. So I agree that there were certainly, and it's really hard to ask people to be involved in the whole process, then at the end feel unsafe. So yes, Lorella, you're right.
It's interesting here because maybe it's to do with our political history of Australia as well, because when you see Italy at the moment with all the manifestazioni that they've organised and the amount of different groups they've been able to bring together just for the same cause, even if they disagree on certain stuff, people are still coming together. Australia or... doesn't have that as much. It doesn't have as much camaraderie in the sense of putting stuff aside for the greater good or for the same outcome. Do you know, Margherita, you were saying that everyone kind of came together for these rallies, this manifestazione in Italy. How do you think they do it? How do you think they're able to do it compared to here?
Yeah, that's a very good question. It's definitely... there is a very different history from like Italy to Australia. I've only had like a glimpse of Australia living here for just a few years now. I'm sure there's a lot of difficulties in Italy as well when it comes from like building movements and coming together from all like different facets of different organizations. But I think what's really powerful about feminism and these demonstrations, and I'm talking also about the 25th of November, the International Day Against Gender Violence. I feel like these were always like the biggest demonstrations in Italy, and there's, I don't know, somehow, you know, like all these intersectional issues come together under like the feminist lens, and without it, it's really impossible to like fight even like colonialism, which is something that I think like Italy also can take on as a perspective, like within its country, in a very different way than Australia, of course, because we live in the colony here.
But you've also had a history. Italy's also had a history of colonization, and I don't see. I think it's something that's yet to be taken on board as a mainstream critique.
Oh, that for sure. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. We don't get taught of that in school. No. We don't know anything about it. No. That's certainly something that it needs to be addressed. I think there's some really interesting writers that are trying to do that right now and try to like narrate that story and make it, I don't know, make people understand that it's something that relates to all of us.
Yes, for sure.
But I wonder whether part of the issue in Australia, and it's on, I think, manifestazioni in general, is that often when people come here, there's an expectation that they leave their politics behind.
Yeah.
Right? So is that a question? Or is it that when people come here, a lot of people who came here as immigrants, and I know with my family and with the people that I've worked with in unions, it is so crucial to establish themselves. Comprare la casa, mandare I bambini a scuola, stabilirsi bene. That they don't, you know, it's almost like they do leave things behind. They cling together, and going out and marching on the streets, how important is it? I don't know. For them.
Well, you know, I think there's a certain comfort in living in Australia that we have to recognize. I feel it, you know, like we're very privileged to live in this country, I think, on many levels. And as a recent Italian migrant, I also feel like a very privileged migrant. And I understand that it's like people need to deal with all these issues. Like me, myself, I need to deal with like paying the rent, and sometimes it's a struggle. But I feel my impression when I moved here was that maybe it's very easy to like settle in discomfort, e quindi non alzarsi e lottare per tutte le questioni politiche che non dovremmo mai dimenticarci. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is, but I think we should definitely, I don't know, keep doing like political formation and not forget to like get up.
I don't agree with the migrant communities being closed in on themselves. I think coming to a colonial settler nation like Australia, there is already a hierarchy of humanity established here.
Absolutely.
With Indigenous people at the bottom, unfortunately, and then a whole range of migrant communities, you know, that keeps changing depending on the needs of what's going on. But if you think that the first ACTU conference for migrant workers was held in 1981 or two, now that's like, you know, a long time after mass migration occurred. And that only occurred because organisations like FILEF and many other left-wing migrant organisations got together and they had their own migrant workers conferences in the 70s. To push the unions to realise that there were new industrial subjects in this country. So that was a long, long battle. And if we look at some of the, even the minutes from the 70s and in the 70s of migrant workers' conferences, what they were saying is, we want our union to represent us. We want to be able to be part of this union, but the way it's structured, we can't be. So, you know, like we have the worst jobs, we've got all these pressures to survive with all these crummy jobs, no OHS laws before that was until the 80s, and here we are trying to get into our unions and participate in our unions. And so even if you look at the huge strikes of the 70s with Ford, for example, where we had 10 weeks of strike action, that's not an easy thing for people on low wages, where, you know, they had difficulty in getting their union to accept what they were fighting for. So I don't know about migrant workers being closed in on themselves. I think they have been and continue to be marginalised parts of the Australian landscape, sadly. And I think that's what we need to fight against, to say, no, we are here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something linking back to Italy that I read from USB across the weekend was that, and I think this is, trust my facts for a minute, is that the government has eliminated or are looking to eliminate their equality advisor, which affects stuff in Italy with like positions of female workers, which are already quite low anyway. And so to get rid of this crucial role then affects women workers.
Well, they're following the Americans, aren't they, in getting rid of all those equal opportunity sorts of...
And to not have to not have someone to even keep it in check when there's already like a structural inequality anyway. And then heaps of female workers are already penalised for like postnatal when they take maternity leave. Maybe their jobs aren't getting renewed or their contracts aren't renewed. They have less pay. They get kind of punished for that. But then also having like the traditional element of needing to be a mother or like having that social pressure and to not have to remove a position like that to which doesn't even keep keep males in the workforce, keep work structures in check for making sure that equality, some form of equality is there, is pretty
Well, I imagine the donne in Italia non sono contente di questo e faranno qualcosa o manifesteranno, perché la canzone che ci hai mandato, Margherita, è incredibile. Non so se vogliamo parlare un po'.
Before we listen to the song, I just wanted to mention on this topic that actually, like, just like super recently in February, they tried to pass a law that would equalize like parental leave, making it so that there would be like 5 months for both the mother and the father at 100% salary. But of course it failed. And currently, like, the law says that dads are allowed only 10 days of parental leave, and mothers only get like between like 30 and 80% of their salary anyway during their maternal leave. So yeah, it is like awful what is happening also at our government level in terms of our rights, and workers' rights and mothers' rights and just like people's rights, really human rights.
Add to that, I think, I mean, I have experience from family in the south of Italy where a lot of people don't even get the little rights that they have, you know, like they work in Nero or whatever. So it's a real problem.
We're going to play a song now called Bandiera by Julia May. Margherita, do you know some stuff about it?
We can just briefly mention it's a very powerful song. It was released a couple of years ago and it became a bit of like a manifesto for women's freedom. I guess we can just listen to it and enjoy that.
Libera, voglio essere libera di non portare o portare un velo, truccarmi tantissimo, non depilarmi per mesi, per anni. Libera, voglio essere libera di uscire la sera, tornare da sola senza la paura persino del tipo della spazzatura, di fare un figlio anche a 40 anni, di divorziare e poi risposarmi, amare un uomo con 10 anni in meno che mi vuole bene, bene davvero, fare l'amore, girare un porno, cambiare letto per ogni giorno e di morire come mi pare, non massacrata da un criminale, non dalle pietre di nuova vita, delle mie mani farò cantieri o fragilissimi tulipani, della mia vita farò una bandiera che brillerà nella notte scura, della mia vita farò una bandiera che brillerà nella notte nera, della mia fica farò una bandiera che brillerà nella notte nera,
della mia fica farò una bandiera che brillerà nella notte nera, della mia fica farò una bandiera che brillerà nella notte nera,
della mia fica farò una bandiera che brillerà nella notte nera, della back to Radio Philev. Siamo qui a Trecere 855 AM. Our text line is open if you want to send us a message. Text in on 0488-809-855. And we actually received one message saying that a lot of the generational politics rings true also with the Latin American community about educating and re-educating, which, yeah, we can look to Latin America for a lot of stuff. And I actually think the Italians have looked to them a lot as well with Manifestazioni and the people getting out and saying things as well, which is also really different to here in Australia because when some countries, their culture and their inequality is a bit more prevalent, there's a lot more that that women are fighting for in a daily perspective compared to here. Sometimes we are, what you said before, we're quite privileged. We still have issues. There's still a lot that we need to fight for. But, yeah, compared to some other countries, our safety, our daily safety is a bit different, or different,
and our safety net too. Our safety nets that maybe we don't have, there aren't in other countries, so people can feel very safe. But obviously, as Lorella said, there's still an incredible hierarchy where groups of women are having a lot of problems, and you know, we need to take up the fight for everyone.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, and I think there are a lot of women who are not privileged at all who live in Australia and who face a lot of oppression and hardship that might be different to us sitting, I'm not sure, I don't know everyone's story in the studio, but definitely we can't sort of universalise.
No, absolutely. And I didn't mean to do that I was talking about my personal privilege before as well. And I think we already like tackled on the fact that, of course, like we live like in a colony. So we need to really like recognize like first people's struggles as well. Indigenous women. So like there's so many levels, I guess, of inequalities within this country, and it's interesting for me, for us, I suppose, as migrants as well, like to remind ourselves of that and positioning like our diasporic position within this context.
Yes, I think my background in the last, I don't know, 40 years, and Lorella's too, has been working in unions, and I think that what we've seen is waves of different migration from different countries. And as Lorella said, you know, they take the worst jobs, the lowest paid jobs, often unorganized. And unions have sometimes picked things up, only when forced to sometimes. But my experience has been that when people first arrive, especially if they come from countries where they have really struggled or where they've come as the refugees, there's a fear. There's a fear of joining unions. There's a lack of knowledge sometimes. And there has to be a much bigger sforzo, because it's only through unions and women organising and sticking together that we actually get wins. And, you know, one of the experiences that I had working for at the time, a union that covered hospitality and women who worked in hotels, and often the cleaners in the hotels were migrant women. One building would be from Chile, another building might be the Greeks, another building might be the Italians. They're all working their guts out. They used to have to clean, and you know how in those big hotels the rooms are beautiful. They would have to clean sometimes 14, 15 rooms in a shift. You know, cleaning the glass, cleaning the mirrors, cleaning. And it was really only through strikes and through unionisation that we managed to get portable superannuation for those women. So they could change, the companies would change because, you know, one company would lose the contract. Sometimes they'd keep on the women, but always upping the number of rooms that they had to clean. Yeah. But at least we won a scheme that meant all the cleaners once they got the superannuation, they didn't lose it. They were able to, you know, carry it on, and that was fantastic. That was just an example. I'm sure Lorella's got others as well.
Yeah, working in the TCFUA for quite a while back in the 90s.
TCFUA being?
The Textile Clothing Footwear Union of Australia.
Thank you.
A lot of the issues that the women had was, of course, low pay. Low pay, working piecework often in factories, and also being, really victims of the structural need for capitalism to reform itself. So whilst in the 50s and 60s, many Italian migrant women and other migrant women had what you'd call crummy jobs, hard jobs, but at least they were secure jobs, with the restructuring that we told we all had to submit to, a lot of their jobs were either offshored or they became outworkers working in the casualised sector of the textile clothing and footwear industries. So this meant even more health and safety problems, worse pay, no regulation of their work conditions, fearful of their employer because who do they go to? And so the union at the time did a lot of campaigning, first of all, to try and stop the reduction of tariff protections with which the Textile Clothing and Footwear Union had managed to negotiate, which meant that the local industries were protected, which means the jobs were protected. But, of course, that battle was lost because we were going to liberalise trade and investment, apparently, and it was going to be a paradise for workers. But, of course, what we found is that thousands and thousands of workers in the manufacturing industries, many of whom were migrant workers and women, lost their secure jobs. And what they got instead was some funding that was directed through the whole social welfare system, where they would get some money to go off and learn English, which was a real insult to those women workers that had done decades in those factories. And actually speaking English in a particular way was, I don't think, what they were burning to learn about. They would have wanted to retrain, maybe find a way to get more work because they had lost their living. And so that was a really hard time for migrant workers. But it also fueled a lot of activism as well, as migrant workers and their unions tried to campaign and push back against really what were neoliberal policies.
It's ironic because I know that a lot of people who came to Australia, who migrated to Australia, were leaving Italy when it was war-torn. A lot of the land, you know, was poor. They came from very poor communities. They were labourers, agricultural workers. And so that's why we had migration. We had migration to the promised lands, Australia, Canada, America, South America. And they came and, yes, they found, you know, they were able to eventually, I know that many people, you know, many Italians who are here and who have been here for many years would say that they had a level of success, but at what cost?
This is kind of what you were saying before, which is we are talking from a migrant perspective here and coming in like the Italian migrants that came in the 60s and 70s, that wave after the war.
Or the 50s.
Or the 50s as well, yeah. After all the war, when they came for like a better future, they worked really hard for that future, and then there is kind of that coming into a colonized country already and not knowing that history, but then also playing a really important part in a history, in the history of New Australia as well. The migrant history and the work that they did, and really hard work that they did, is really important. And I think a lot of the FAMs was what Renata, you said before. They worked really hard. They were able to support their families to get a house, and they're comfortable with that and grateful for being here. Sometimes maybe that means that they're not politically engaged in other aspects. For some families, not all families, they have that still years later. It's about being grateful to this country,
yes,
which we are, but also we have a responsibility where the unions come in. We still have rights, and migrant workers before and now still have a lot of rights, that it doesn't mean that you can be grateful to be here, but also you can look after yourself and you're part of a community as well, and we need to look out for each other and each other's rights too, which the unions that you guys were part of before were really integral in making those changes and bringing that also to people's attentions.
I think also a really interesting aspect of all of this for me is really the idea that somehow migrant workers, particularly the ones post-war, but even today, I think there's this bias that they're empty vessels, that they don't have any politics, that they came from a place without politics, which if you know anything about, you know, Italian history and when they migrated, it was a highly politically charged environment that they left behind. And I think it took great courage, actually, to come here and do what they did. I don't think that courage is ever acknowledged. No. I think people see them as these poor sods that just migrated because what else could they do? But in fact, you know, I think of all the conversations around my kitchen table in my family's kitchen table in Glenroy, and it was always about politics.
Yeah.
And as Gaetano, one of our dear members of Philef, would say, every Sunday they would watch Bob Santamaria's right-wing point of view, and whether it was throwing a shoe at him or yelling at the television because of his right-wing views, I think we're imbued with a sense of political culture that we had. It's just that often we didn't know where to put it.
Do you think migrants are fearful to speak out politically here sometimes as well?
I think migrants can be fearful on the job, and if I were them, I would be fearful on the job too, because if you're working in an informal economy, it's really tough to know who to go – well, not to know, who do you go to? And if you are ever made, if it's ever been made visible that you're the complainer or that you've put a complaint forward, you actually don't just risk the job you're enjoying, you're actually losing your livelihood. Yeah. So I understand the fear. The fear, I think, can be very real and,
And this happens. I mean, this speaking out in a workplace, it's not just the migrant workers who are fearful of this. You know, I worked in occupational health and safety for decades, and there are laws supposedly that protect the people who say there is something wrong here, and yet people get sacked and nothing can happen. You know, so if you're at an extra disadvantage, if you're from a marginalized group, well, you're not going to stick your head up above the parapet. You know, it's
no. Why would you?
On a note before we play a song, I know we've been talking about a lot of working females and working migrants, but also shout out to some of the OG feminists, like the housemaker, the stay-at-home wives or housewives, whatever people derogatorily call them. A lot of us here, I can speak for myself, were raised by our nonne and our nonni, who were really important. And these women that when they came here were working, but even they were working and making a home and raising families and being in a country without knowing the language and then raising us and teaching. I, from my experience, have learned so much like love and care from these women who raised us as they made a home and built a home and did things that sometimes the modern day feminists doesn't really acknowledge or doesn't really might frown and look down on, because not everyone now is the time of being a girl boss being an independent female. But these women who came and were part of the households, even within really tricky cultural situations sometimes, they, in my eyes, were like one of the original feminists. And I think, we've learned a lot from that generation as well in the care and the strength that they brought.
I couldn't agree with you more, Han. And I do believe in Australia we're still captured by middle-class white feminism.
Yeah.
And sadly, I think that way of thinking dominates many forums.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing we need to challenge, because if we challenge that, what we are saying is you need to be decentered. you're not the center of the world, actually, for women.
Yeah.
But there are lots of different women's experiences, and we've got to listen to all of them and appreciate them all.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We're going to jump to another song, which is Amare Terra Mia, a cover by... Beautiful.
Elena Yes, this is a cover. Yeah, this is a cover. The original song, the very original song, in fact, was an Abruzzese folk song. But it was popularized and rewritten by Domenico Modugno and a woman who wrote, and I can't remember her name because I have to look, Enrica Bonaccorti, which Enzo tells me she was a woman who ran, who had a TV program. So he was surprised that she wrote this beautiful song. Wow. But this cover is by, and I haven't written it down.
Elena Dunni, who's an Albanian Swiss singer. And the lyrics apparently for this one, they changed the vibe of the song from the traditional Abruzzese one, which is about like olive workers, to then about migrants leaving their home, which is kind of relevant to all the Italian migrants that came in Australia after the war, that left for a better life and for more money and a more secure future, or that moved from the south to the north of Italy as well. So this one's for all the migrants that were forced to move.
Sole alla vola, sole alla collina, per le campagne non c'è più nessuno, addio, addio, amore. Io vado via. Amore è bello.
bellissima canzone, proprio dal cuore, no?
Sì.
Fantastica. Bentornati a Philip Radio. We are here at 3CR, 855 AM. You can text us at 0488-809-855. And we got a couple of messages complimenting the show. Thank you. It's our pleasure to be here. Someone is shouting out to migrants, worker power, women workers power, and workers power full stop. Mm-hmm. Someone is also saying that what we were talking about before reminded them of the palm skin worker from the Pacific Island that now have a death rate rapidly approaching that of the snowy scheme.
Well, the snowy scheme, it's interesting. I mean, that was really the majority of those workers were migrant workers.
Yeah.
And there were Italians who were there. There were Yugoslavs. There were all sorts of people. And it was hard work. And it was people were killed. And it's appalling. I don't know much about this. I know that they, Lorella, perhaps you can say more about these new visas where people are coming in.
Well, the whole idea of having special visas and different rules for different workers is so problematic, I think. It's really thrown a curveball at unions as well to know which way to jump and how to organise around this very fraught area, because what it means is that bosses can hold over people their visa and send them packing. And, of course, who wants to be sent packing when you've tried so hard to get somewhere and saved so hard? And it may not be an option to go back to wherever you've come from. And bosses know this. So this has been a real difficulty in the last decade. And I think initially unions sort of campaigned against the category, which was, I think, personally problematic because we understood the category was there to exploit workers, so of course we don't want that to happen as a union movement. But at the same time, the horse had bolted. So what were we going to do as a union? And I think unions have gotten better at this. So, for example, the UWU has run an amazing campaign around migrant workers who are farm workers, and there's a lot of exploitation going there in terms of their pay, in terms of holding their visa over their heads, in terms of safety, health and safety.
Right. Making them pay a fortune also for living in terribly crowded houses.
Harassment of women
Rapes.
Yeah, a whole range of things. And so they have been taking this matter up with their farm workers, which I find interesting. So they're at the centre and the front of the campaign and trying to get wins legally and in other ways to organise those workers better. So all power to that union for having used some innovative ways of organising that, you know, the situation made them be really creative about what they could do for this category of workers.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I think I just want to do a little like shout out to like all women's farmers as well, which is another category that's often not recognized within the force. And just mention that FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN, declared that this year is the International Year of the Women's Farmer.
Yes.
So yeah, a shout out to all of them, and it's great that some works in the process of getting all those workers more rights.
Posso chiederti, Margherita, come una nuova migrante qui, com'è la tua esperienza? Your experience here with la sistema, the visa, working, student, like, how has it been for you here?
Hard.
Big question.
I think it's hard on everyone. I think, as I was saying before, I every day recognize my privilege of being like an Italian migrant and like a white European migrant in this country, coming from like a fairly, you know, safe environment as well. But it's not easy. It's not easy. The visas, they keep changing. They're extremely expensive. They're really hard to get. everyone, of course, comes here on a working holiday visa. That's what I did. And then you're forced to move around all the time. You cannot settle. Like, it's made in a way that you cannot, like, stay and build community and build that safety net around you as well that can help you and teach you how things work in a new, mm-hmm. In a new country. And people don't trust you and think that you're just here to party and travel. They don't rent you houses. Maybe not so much in Melbourne, but like in rural areas, the experience can definitely like be different. I've been here for 3.5 years. I'm on my fourth visa, currently on a bridging visa. Terribly broke because of that.
Yeah.
I got a lot of good things. I met amazing people. I feel like I'm really like building a beautiful community and home here, and I'm really happy. So,
well, sei benvenuta, Filef.
Yeah.
E se ci sono altri che stanno ascoltando, altre donne, anche uomini, chiaramente, siete tutti invitati e benvenuti alla Filef, perché la Filef è molto importante. E dobbiamo ricordarci che la Filef esiste ormai da decine di anni, è un'organizzazione in tutto il mondo stabilita proprio per questa ragione, per aiutare gli italiani migrati e le loro famiglie.
Sì.
Allora spero che tornerai, che verrai anche ai nostri eventi e che troverai amicizia e anche forse un po' di aiuto.
Assolutamente, è un grande piacere essere qui, entrare in Filef. Avrei voluto conoscervi prima, suppongo.
Adesso ci conosci.
Una cosa bella di Filef che abbiamo parlato con Lorella e Renata prima era che Filef qualcosa importante grazie a Gaetano è l'elemento intergenerational.
Noi vecchie con voi giovani.
No, non vecchi, ma con life experience and that you're willing to share with us. Like today, being in the studio with you guys who we've all come from different experiences. Like someone new in Australia, second generation, third generation, different times, and being able to share that and have this conversation is really important. So for those listening, reach out to Filef on our social medias, on Instagram, on Facebook. We are here and we're ready to meet you and work together and collab together to just be like a voice, I guess, for Italian community, and we can learn.
The voice on the left.
The voice on the left, for sure.
Much needed.
Also, remember to keep texting in any questions or comments you might have on 0488-809-855. Also, touching on one of the comments before, was reminded about the Snowy Workers. Vittorio, who does Radio Filef, did an interview with Tony Giuselli. That's on the Radio Filef site that you can listen to about the Snowy Workers, which is really interesting as well. So, yeah, go and listen to that. We're going to jump to another song, which is another cover by Giussi Ferreri, Ma il cielo è sempre più blu.
Yes.
Lei è siciliana and it's like a pop rock kind of cover of a Rino Gaetano classic, but female version.
Gioca a Sanremo. e coi fili che ha fatto l'indiano. Chi fa il contadino, chi spazza i cortini, chi ruba, chi lotta, chi ha fatto la spia. Na, 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 na. Ma il cielo è sempre più blu. Ma il cielo è sempre più blu. Ma il cielo è sempre più blu. Chi ha assunto la zecca, chi ha fatto cilecca, chi ha crisi interiori, chi scava nei cuori, chi legge la mano, chi regna sovrano, chi suda, chi lotta, chi mangia una volta, chi gli manca la casa, chi vive da solo, chi prende assai poco, chi gioca col fuoco, chi vive in Calabria, chi vive d'amore, chi ha fatto la guerra, chi prende il 60, chi arriva agli 80, chi muore al lavoro, na 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 na. Ma il cielo è sempre più blu. Il cielo è sempre più blu. Il cielo è sempre più blu. Chi ha assicurato, chi è stato multato, chi possiede un avuto, chi va in farmacia, chi è morto di invidia o di gelosia, chi ha torto ragione, chi è Napoleone, chi grida al ladro, chi ha l'antifurto, chi ha fatto un bel quadro, chi scrive sui muri, chi redisce distinto, chi ha perso, chi ha vinto.
Welcome back to Radio Filev. Our last 5 minutes, we just want to quickly talk about the referendum that's coming up. Lorella, what info do you have for us?
The information I have about the referendum is that it's very important that everybody who has a right to vote here in Australia and around the world and in Italy vote no to this referendum. The referendum, we could go into the technicalities, which we won't, but essentially it's trying to dilute the independence of the judiciary, which of course who would want that to ever happen, and it's also a backdoor into the Italian constitution. There are 7 clauses that they are hoping that the Meloni government are trying
fascist
desperately to change. So no, this, we're wanting you to vote no, because the problems that do exist with the Italian judiciary are it's understaffed, it's really slow and cumbersome, yes, but none of the proposals that the Meloni government have put forward will in fact address any of these pressing issues for citizens. So please vote no. You should send back your, you should already have your plieci and send them back by 4 p.m. March the 19th, or you can go in person to the consulate. They will be open Saturday the 14th and Sunday the 15th from 10 to 12 p.m. Vote no.
One of the comments that we got sent in, which I love, is Viva le nonne, antifascisti e viva Radio Filev. It's been a real pleasure tonight's episode with all of you.
Grazie.
Stay tuned, because we are going to do some more female Radio Filev sessions this year. So if you're listening and also want to join in and come join us at the station, please, that would be really lovely, because the more female voices, we love our voice here, and thank you, Tobia, for being here and helping out, but female voices are also really important. So yeah, vote no. Any last comments from...
Viva le donne.
Viva le donne. We up next, we have Tamil Voices, and we're going to leave you with one last song, which is by La Niña, called Filia da Tempesta, Daughter of the Storm. Lei è una un cantante napoletana e usa a sound traditional, like Neapolitan folk sound, while invoking like this anger and this passion in being a woman. And I think it's a really cool look at being a modern female, but drawing on traditional sounds and her history in Napoli as well. So we leave you with that. Grazie a tutte.
Grazie.
Ciao.
Viva. Stay antifascisti.
Luanda fa paura, tendo te ammazzata, a botte manganiella, musica e cagnata. Battimmo che tambura, mo facimmo la sentì, chi non voleva sentire, mo è ricchiata rapì.
Sta film non è niente, muovo tutto cosa, muovo tutto cosa. E te non arraggio, che non arrabosa, che non arrabosa. Ha dato la vita e ce l'hanno luata, non voglio ne voti. Vestù da puttana, e vestù da rasposa.
Film non è niente.
Listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.